interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Welcome in to Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 1037 The Game. And nope, your ears are not deceiving you. This has not been Love. This is Blaine Vietar. Ben is getting some much deserved R&R, but I'll be riding shotgun home with you today, and we'll talk all sorts of sports. Today's opening day of camp for both LSU and UL, both reporting today. Camp gets underway tomorrow. The Saints are underway, but we're going to have a whole lot of fun, and the Thursday tradition continues. We're live from the Tap Room, River Ranch, right now, where the crowd is starting to get going. People are getting off of work. Some drinks are flowing. If you don't have plans on a Thursday afternoon, there's no reason why you should not be right here with us. So with all that said, camp getting underway, Michael Thomas signing with the Saints, what should we start with? Well, baseball, of course. I am so jacked up with the Zach Greinke signing yesterday. If you didn't buy in on the Astros being the number one contender, if not number two, to win the World Series this year, then you have to be over the moon about this. Before they even made the move, the Astros were so dangerous. They had already won 46 games over teams over 500, most in the bigs. The Dodgers came in second with 39, way over them. Not to mention, though, you've had guys miss games all year long. Correa missed 51 games, Altuve 36, and Springer 33. The injury bug has bit them. They've withstand it. Guess what? They're still standing, and they added one of the best pitchers in all of baseball to a lineup that is already just filthy. Justin Verlander sports a whip of 0.811. Are you kidding me? And then Zach Greinke comes in with his a 0.945. Whew, good luck. I am super stoked about those Houston Astros, and I'll be in Minute Maid Park on Saturday to watch them take on the Seattle Mariners. Good times right there. But we can't forget to bring in the other member of our team from the 237 Roof Studios, the famous Clint D. Clint, my man, how goes it today?
Oh, man, it's definitely a good Thursday because we are getting that much closer to football season. The pads, not quite for college football, are on, but trust me, a lot of things to kind of wind up talking about on this Thursday afternoon, and I'm just happy that I was able to kind of enjoy it all from LSU to the Louisiana Raging Cajuns as we aired the Coach O presser here on 103.7 The Game and also was at UL Media Day. So definitely a busy day for the famous CD.
Is it kind of creepy that grown men just get super geeked up about watching young men try on shoulder pads and stuff, man? It's like it's here. It's like Christmas morning, you know, like we're ready to get going tomorrow.
Well, I don't think it's as creepy as about what goes on in T-Town. Well, at least what used to go on in T-Town back in the day when you used to have the running of the gumps. Let's put it that way. That's creepier.
Yeah, I think anything that goes on in T-Town will be creepier. But look, we got to have
trust me, I've learned that.
When you went to SEC Media Days, you saw a side of the gumps you didn't know existed.
Oh, definitely. Well, I knew it was a thing, but my goodness, it was just like, just to see it live and in living color is another level. I was disappointed, though, Conrad Thompson, friend of the program, was not there.
Oh, man, Conrad. Did you throw shade at Raymond while you guys were there? Like, look,
no.
Man, these are your people. Can you believe your people acting like this?
No, I think he understood what was going on.
But look, we're going to have you covered from all aspects. At 4:15, Larry Holder of The Athletic is going to come on and talk Saints camp. Saints locked up Michael Thomas yesterday, one of the top five, if not the best receiver in all the game. They have him locked up to at least the end of Drew Brees' tenure, or even longer. And training camp's really getting underway. Hell, we got, what, preseason football tonight. The Hall of Fame game will take place. The Denver Broncos versus the Atlanta Falcons. CD, are you going to take in any of that ball game at 7 p.m.?
Probably not. I'll probably wind up listening to maybe a little bit of it because we'll have it right here on 103.7 The Game, thanks to Westwood One's coverage of the NFL.
Perfect. You don't even have to go anywhere. Once we leave, the stick locked in, and you're going to get everything you need. Then at 4:30 of the Times-Picayune, Brooks Kabina's going to join us, and he was on campus today as the LSU Tigers were getting there. He got to sit in and listen to Coach Ed Ogeron speak about the Tigers and what they have going on, and he'll be able to let you know all about injuries, who showed up, who didn't, and what you have to look forward to in fall camp. From 5 to 6, Coach Christopher Kovach of the Carrico Golden Bears basketball team, a year removed from a state championship, is going to join us right here live in person at the tap room, and we're going to talk about best high school athletes in the area of any sport at all. We've been having some submissions from social media. Coach Kovach got it out last night that he was coming on and doing this, so we're going to talk about that. We'd love to have you guys call in and hear what Acadiana has to say, so hit us up on the ARCO Equipment Hotline at 706-0111 to let us know who you think. Clint, we're going to talk about some blasts from the past and some guys that just did tremendous things on the gridiron, the baseball diamond, as well as the hardwood.
I mean, you could pick a whole lot of great players from the Acadiana area, and you brought up over the last 20 years. You definitely have a lot to choose from. It's like you're at karaoke night and you got that giant book full of songs. You got a giant book full of names of high school players over the last 20 years that have done some big things on all kinds of different fields, including, like you said, the hardwood.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be able to talk a lot about what they did here when they were in Acadiana, but what they did when they went over to the college, and many of them on the professional level. Clint just hit me with the Astros are going to start Aaron Sanchez on Sunday. So that means, Astros fans, you won't get to see your new toy in Zach Greinke until Tuesday. But I think the Astros fans will be patient and still love that. Before we get started with Larry, though, I'd like to get over to a little bit of sound from Coach Ed Ogeron from today. He was able to speak with the media as everybody was set to arrive. Clint, you mind queuing some of that up for us?
Yeah, sure thing, my man. We'll start things off with Coach O talking about the message he had to the team yesterday.
No question. That will be the message today, and they know it. We talked to them. We had a big dinner the Sunday night, and they were wild. They were fired up about it. But now the expectations are raised. They've given us the best. We got to give them our best. We're going to give our very best. There'll be no doubt about that.
It does feel, though, that going into this camp, there's a little bit of different feel to this LSU bunch. They seem a little bit more relaxed. You heard Coach Ogeron said, you know, Sunday they had a big get-together, a big shindig, all got together, went out all wild. It seems like they're coming in a little bit more relaxed, and I think that's going to pay off dividends. He said they're focused now, but it's a little bit different. I feel like the team was a little tight going in, especially last year. You had some quarterback controversy with the Justin McMillan deal going on. You weren't sure if Joe Burrow was going to be the starter yet at this point, but this year you know he's your guy. I think this team's a lot more relaxed, and one thing I'm really excited about is how they plan to use the tight end position. Clint, cue that up for us.
Yeah, I think watching Jimmy Graham plays with Joe Brady kind of sold him, you know, really. And we can do the same things that we did with Jimmy Graham with Stephon. I'm not saying he's that, but we're in the same type of plays, and he can be the same type of player. So I think he's totally bought into that, and I think that's the big reason.
You're talking about using a guy of his size who they said bulked up all the way to 250 pounds. I mean, Ed Ogeron went on record, I believe it was a couple of days ago, at the Rotary Club and said, look, our tight ends are not going to be glorified offensive linemen anymore. They're going to be threats in the pass game. When you get a guy like that with his size, his ability, he's going to be a mismatch when you put him out there underneath or in the red zone. I really like them able to use him and get him involved. I mean, LSU fans for years have been screaming about, get the tight end involved, get the tight end involved. I think now with Joe Brady in, helping coach the offense, with Joe Burrow comfortable, and a guy with Stephon Sullivan's skill set, I think that's going to be a deadly, deadly combination. Clint, you got one more for us?
I got one more for you, and trust me, you'll hear the word excited quite a bit from Ed Ogeron. Let's see how many times he says excited in this one clip.
I'm excited about offense. Excited about the guys coming back, Joe and Miles. And excited to see Peter. I haven't seen Peter at all yet. I can't wait to see him. I saw him at camp. Excited about our running backs. Excited about our receivers. Excited about Stephon Sullivan playing tight end. About Thaddeus Moss. Those guys had excellent, excellent summers. Along with Torrey Carter, we got to get better at the tight end position. But the focus on camp is going to be the line of scrimmage. And getting better at the line of scrimmage. Line of scrimmage discipline. Eliminate pre-snap penalties. Pass protection. Run blocking. And we got to develop a great offensive line. I know Coach Craig is ready to do that.
These wide receivers that LSU has are so, so deep. They return Justin Jefferson, the leader from a year ago. But then the two sophomores, Terrace Marshall, Jamar Chase, those guys are poised for big breakout seasons. And, I mean, we're not even mentioning the other guys that they do have coming back that have some experience as well. Look, this team's offense is going to go as far as the offensive line will take it. You know, he talked about the offensive line getting better, you know, pre-snap adjustments, pre-snap penalties. They got to be better. You might say, you know, the running back position might have a little bit of the unknown. Clyde Edwards-Helaire comes back. He wasn't shabby a year ago. He gave you some good carries. He's a quality back. But then you get into dynamite running backs in the freshman class. And I really, truly believe John Emery's going to be just that dynamite game breaker. And I think Tyrion Davis-Price has a chance to be that every down back as well. So I think as this offense kind of evolves and they get their identity, you know, I don't know if I'm buying the complete spread that he's saying. How long we've heard that with LSU, but even if, you know, they go with some three wide sets, I like to see them more in the shotgun or the pistol formation and utilize and get all these athletes in space. I'm excited about this offense. I don't know about you, Clint.
Oh, trust me, I am very much excited what this offense brings to the table. I just want to see it in action. We saw some stuff back in the spring game, but that didn't show us nearly as much as we want to wind up seeing and what we want to wind up believing of this offense being the five-wide spread offense, the hype around it. Obviously, the tight end is definitely something everybody's talking about. What's going to happen with this offense? Are we going to see it be more of a balance? Because I think that's one of the biggest things that has been missing from the LSU offense for quite some time. You haven't seen an offense that was an LSU offense that utilized the passing game to it as a strength to them, in my opinion, for a long, long time. Especially you look back at the Les Miles era, it was definitely more running back driven. Give me Joe Burrow and this offense going off offensively through the air, and the run game will wind up still being a big part of it, but not necessarily the entire pie. Let's just put it that way.
Couldn't agree more, Clint, but we're going to have to take it to a quick break. When we come back, though, Larry Holder of The Athletic is going to join us, talk some of the Saints camp. He'll break down the Michael Thomas signing and much, much more. From the Tap Room River Ranch on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before. Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
It's awesome. Great to have him back. Knew it was only a matter of time, right? So I think the timing's good. Get him back in the fold. You know, we're still at the beginning, I think, of our install for the most part, you know. So he you know, came in today as if, you know, he's been here the whole time. And so all good.
Hearing from the man himself, Drew Brees. Who else do you want to hear from? Well, I want to hear from Larry Holder of The Athletic. Let's head out to the Artco Equipment Hotline and bring the man himself on. Larry, how goes it this Thursday afternoon?
I'm good. How are you?
Hello.
I'm good. How are you?
Great, Larry. I appreciate you jumping aboard with us. Look, we've got the Michael Thomas thing done. We're fantastic, Larry. Look, we got the Michael Thomas deal done and put away. What was the team's reaction, and is there some relief, those guys getting that done and out of the way?
Yeah, I'm sure there was some relief. Yeah, I mean, you know, players are asked about it, and, you know, it's not like it was that prolonged, so it wasn't really that big of an absence. And so, and a lot of the players, look, they understand. I mean, he was up for one of the richest contracts annually in NFL history at a wide receiver. And so sometimes it takes a little bit of time. And so the fact that it only lasted 5 days, basically it's almost like, all right, we held him out of practice for 5 days. No big deal. It's not like he missed really that much. He's certainly in tune with the offense. He's in tune with Drew Brees. So in that point, not a big deal. And, of course, the production speaks for itself, which is why the contract was deserved. And so I think everyone, it really wasn't that major of a distraction anyway when he was not there. So it just allowed other receivers to actually receive more FaceTime, say, with Drew Brees. So a little bit, it was kind of a mini positive there for a little bit. But, yeah, everything's fine. Michael Thomas obviously happy. And now the Saints, it's simply the first domino, though, of contracts to come within the 2016 and 2017 draft classes.
When fall camp comes around, it just, you know, guys are fighting for positions. What is that one position battle that you're watching closely that has you really excited for the New Orleans Saints?
I think there's some intrigue at wide receiver. A lot of the talk, of course, throughout much of the first 4 days of training camp has been surrounding Emmanuel Butler, but he left practice early. Let me think what day it is. Okay, today's Thursday. He left Tuesday. They were off yesterday. He was not around today. But I think there's some intrigue there at wide receiver, who's going to complement Michael Thomas. And Ted Ginn, people kind of forget about him, but he's going to be part of this offense as well. But there's also intrigue still around center. I mean, it depends on the day. It depends on the team drill. They switch up. And I still think it's a no-brainer that Eric McCoy wins the job, but they are certainly doing their due diligence there to determine who will be the starter. I mean, and I think they want to know what they have with some of their reserve offensive linemen as well. So that's, it's not a sexy pick, but that it's certainly one that needs to be paid attention to.
And I think that position is going to be very important this year, especially with losing Mark Ingram. You're going to need a strong offensive line to kind of solidify the trenches. Do you see that position, the offensive line, being a position of strength for the Saints in this 2019 season?
There's no doubt. I mean, they're one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. There's no question about it. Even if you lose Max Unger, who admittedly was saying when he announced his retirement and spoke with us right after that happened, that he felt like he was maybe losing a step or two. And it was one of the reasons why he felt like, all right, time to move on. And so you look at Ryan Ramczyk and Teron Armstead, I feel like, could easily arguably be the best duo of tackles in the NFL. Larry Warford has been to the Pro Bowl twice since coming to the Saints. And then Andres Pete, he kind of gets the butt of some criticism from the Saints just because of where he was drafted, but he's still a viable offensive lineman. And I think McCoy's going to be just fine. So it's certainly a big-time strength. And there's a reason why the last 2 years, for sure, that the run game has been well, and, of course, the pass game has been top-notch.
Everybody's been talking about Emmanuel Butler. He's been the buzz at camp so far. Who's the other guy that's really sticking out to you, kind of an unknown coming into camp that's just been, you know, balling out?
Well, I don't know if he's necessarily been balling out per se, but when you look at the running back position, Latavius Murray had missed a couple of days. He's back. He came back today, but didn't go through team drills or anything else, so that he's still limited with some sort of ailment that we don't totally know, but he at least was back out there. But in his place the last couple of days in first team drills, again, this wasn't all the time because Latavius Murray is certain his type of back is – definitely number two behind Kamara, but Nebraska undrafted running back Devin Ozigbo is someone who has been seeing reps with the ones in Murray's absence, which I think that's something we got to take a look at, even though Sean Payton was talking today after practice and lauding Dwayne Washington, who was on the team last year mainly as a special teams guy but was technically their number three running back. But Ozigbo has been seeing a decent bit of first-team snaps to really say, all right, well, if that's something we're going to have to pay attention to, if Murray's a little bit slowed.
Speaking of Emmanuel Butler, let's go back and talk about him a little bit. Is he somebody that you see as just like a camp splash guy, or do you see him as a long-term guy that's going to contribute significantly in the regular season for the Saints?
Well, I don't think you can put a gauge on that right now. Look, he hasn't practiced
the last 1.5 practices. Who knows when, how long he's going to be gone, or if he wasn't even out there today. So we don't know. And I have a 53-man roster projection I put together after the first 5 days of camp over at The Athletic. And I don't have him on my 53-man roster yet. I mean, he's been an early darling at camp, but 4 days doesn't mean he's done it for 4 weeks. And so while he's been very impressive, there's no doubt about it. But, A, we don't know how hurt he is. And, B, he's got to be able to come back and replicate that production. And, it's still a challenge for an undrafted rookie. So while he's had plenty of good pub, these are these things that, man, you can't get flash in the pan if you're going to unseat someone on this receiving core. So, I think that's yet to be determined.
Wrapping up right now with Larry Holder of The Athletic, talking Saints camp. Larry, this is a Saints bunch, but a bunch of veteran leadership. Do you see this no-call hangover even being a thing?
I would say no. It's one thing to where if it was their fault, maybe that would be a thing. And you look at after the 2017 season, the fact they were able to overcome a mishap that was at their own hands, I think this team it certainly knows it's viable and capable of being a Super Bowl contender. So I don't really see it, and I know it's going to be a hot topic. It was a little bit at the beginning of the training camp. I'm sure it will be once season starts. I'm sure it will be week two when they have to go to Los Angeles and take on the Rams. But I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal at all, because I think they know how good they are, and it's not like they're just kind of sitting around resting on their laurels. They're busting their tails, and they should certainly be one of the best teams in the NFL this year, regardless of what happened last year.
Hey, Larry, man, I really appreciate the time. We'll have to catch up soon, bud.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Larry Holder of The Athletic breaking down all things Saints camp for you. We're going to take a quick recess, but don't go anywhere. We'll be back with a lot more. Brooks Cabina joining us next of Times-Picayune. Talk LSU camp on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Outstanding. Outstanding workers, outstanding athletes, elite in talent. Both of them a little bit different, but elite in the things that they can do.
Well, we're about to set it off right now with Brooks Cabina of The Advocate joining us right now on the ARTCO Equipment Hotline. Brooks, how goes it this Thursday afternoon?
Good, man. How about yourself?
Can't complain, man. We're so fired up right now for football. LSU reporting today, getting camp underway tomorrow. How the Tigers looking healthy today? I mean, I know you were on campus. I know that we have, is it Dennis Johnson, coach, in a wheelchair? Is that the only significant injury that you saw?
Well, Dennis Johnson, yeah, defensive line coach Ed Ogeron said today at his opening press conference that he suffered an injury playing basketball, hurt both knees, and he's in a wheelchair. So he can't coach from the field. So that means he's going to be coaching from the booth during games. And, that's going to be part of the deal. It seems like this happened fairly recently. He's a former football player there, and, he's actually been one of their better recruiters on the road for them. So, you don't want to say it's convenient, but they do have a lot of depth on, coaching staff. I mean, it's kind of different that you're talking in that way when it comes to a coach, but Ed Ogeron has a lot of background in defensive line, and they just hired a guy in the offseason, Kenechi Udeze, who is a former defensive line coach at USC, and he's an analyst on staff. And, you know, they've got Christian Lockature, a graduate assistant who's on staff, who used to be a defensive lineman at LSU. So, you know, they're going to form around him, and they've gotten conversation with the NCAA to get people there to coach up the defensive line in absence of Johnson. So, yeah, that was a surprise.
You getting to see these guys up close today from a physical standpoint? I mean, he talks about Tyler Shelvin being down to a slim 343, Prince Ika down to, you know, a slim 353, and Stephon Sullivan up to 250. Is that weights that we're buying at this point?
You know, I didn't have a personal scale on me, but they, you know, they looked like they were in shape. I didn't see Shelvin today. I did see Apu Ika. He was walking with Braden Fajoco, and, you know, he seemed thick. I mean, whenever we talk about weight for these guys, I mean, Apu Ika is just solid. I mean, you start to think maybe it's wide or whatever else and whatever you might have in your memory, but, I mean, guy's just built. You know, he's thick. He looks like he can plug a gap as a nose tackle. So, I mean, he was one of the guys that looked at there, but I didn't get a look at Shelvin. But, you know, most of these guys came in looking pretty fit.
LSU is loaded at multiple positions, in wide receiver position, linebacker, defensive backs. What's that position battle that you're looking for, that you're really excited to see the competition in fall camp?
You know, it's on the offensive end, actually. You know, who's going to, you know, play out in the left guard, right tackle spot? You know, there's been talk about Austin Deculus being the starter right now. And Ed Ogeron said today that Bedarra Traore is being considered as more of a third tackle. So I don't know if that means that at left tackle, Sadiq Charles is, you know, still coming along in his progression. It's beneath depth on left tackle, and Deculus may still be struggling, and, you know, they may need to support him with Traore too, or maybe it means that Traore just hasn't won either side. So, you know, the tackles are there, and then that left guard, you know, who comes in there? You know, Chasen Hines missed all of the spring with an off-season surgery, and, you know, is he going to come in and take control of that starting role, or is it going to be Adrian McGee, who played there during the spring? But, you know, defensively, it's nose tackle. You know, Apu Ika and Tyler Shelvin both have been back and forth in Ogeron's favor when it comes to that position. You know, Ika played really well in the spring game, but, you know, Shelvin also got his praise, and it sounds like he's gotten down in weight and strength over the summer. So we'll see what happens there. But it also seems like Ed Ogeron's trying to create competitions as well. You know, he actually has depth of things. Last year there was a bunch of question marks. I mean, Zach Von Rosenberg is a Ray Guy Award watch list guy for punter, but he said that Avery Atkins is going to give him a run for his money. So I think he's starting to kind of create some sort of competition in certain positions just to keep people honest going into the season.
LSU's been blessed to sign numerous 4 and 5 stars, you know, last few years, but it's kind of hard to fly under the radar when you have those kind of expectations. But who's the one guy that you see kind of sliding underneath that radar that nobody's talking about that you expect to just come and make a splash this year?
Well, you know, it's a lot of these guys have been talked up throughout the entire offseason, and it seems like every position has its due. You know, a dark horse guy, it seems like we're always talking about the main ones, like Grant Delpit or Joe Burrow or Justin Jefferson and all these guys. But, I mean, this is a guy that's been talked about, but Caleb on Chason means a lot to this defense. And last year he missed all the year with an ACL tear that he suffered in week one against Miami. But, you know, they've slow-played his recovery. He was ready to go in spring practice, but it's almost like, you know, why risk it? But, you know, he played really well in that Miami game. And Ogeron said yesterday that he expects he could be a 12 to 15 sack guy. Last year they expected him to break the singles season sack record held by Arden Key. I mean, that's about as dark horse as it gets on the team right now, because he's just disappeared out of memory for a lot of people because he was out all last season. So, I mean, his impact on the defense could be monumental if he is back to the kind of athleticism that he was at last year.
Few more moments right now with Brooks Cabina of The Advocate. Brooks, tonight they're going to give the number 18 jersey to a special someone. Who in your eyes is the front runner to get that number?
You know, that's a good question. I put out a poll earlier on Twitter, and I've been thinking about it myself. I mean, it would be interesting if they gave it to Joe Burrow. I think he would be a candidate just as a leader and a quarterback that is consistent, returning starter. But, you know, Rashard Lawrence could have gone to the NFL. He was one of the players that Braden Fajoco had to convince to come back for his senior year. He's been around the team for this long, and everybody knows him. He's a leader who's done the kind of things that Ed Orgeron and coaches before would consider a guy to qualify for a number 18. So he seems like another guy that would get it, but, you know, you never know. Like, maybe it's an offensive lineman. I know that numbers sometimes can't be worn like that on the offensive line, but, you know, who's to say there can't be a something stitched on his jersey on the left side. Could be a guy like Lloyd Cushenberry, who's received a lot of praise as a center. So, you know, you don't know, but those are the names that are kind of out there. I would also throw Michael Divinity in there, a leader, the guy who moved from outside to inside linebacker to be that leader, the replacement for Devin White. But I think those are the names that are kind of at the top of the list, but you never know. Come 7 o'clock tonight, that's kind of when that meeting is, and we'll see what happens.
It seemed last year had a totally different feel to it. Coach Orgeron maybe on the hot seat. It really wasn't Joe Burrow's team quite at this point. A little bit of turmoil within the team. This team just has a little bit different feel. It seems like they might be a little bit more confident, a little bit more loose. Do you get that same feeling?
Well, I mean, they looked like it when they rolled in today. I mean, Joe Burrow came in wearing a Matthew Dellavedova shirt, which is kind of the cult hero Cleveland Cavaliers guy with his shades, and that people are coming in laughing and, you know, and relaxed. I mean, I think this year in comparison to last year they were pretty loose as well. It's just once the preseason began, there were a lot of issues that came up throughout the season, whether it be suspensions or, you know, transfers or whatever else. They had to have a team meeting to set things back, and they went through it together throughout the season and had a 10-3 year. So, I mean, I think outside expectations are in them, but, you know, last year they were speaking confidently going into the season as well. So it just all depends on how together they stay throughout the preseason camp.
Well, Brooks, I really appreciate the time. Nobody covers the Tigers like you over at the Advocate. Hopefully we could chat a little bit more as the season progresses.
For sure, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, man. Brooks Cabina of the Advocate joining us right there, breaking it down. LSU reporting to camp today. A lot of excitement, like you said. The Tigers seemed confident. We talked a little bit about the size of the guys. He said they all look great. You know, you just hear these weights that Orgeron's throwing around. You know, last year it was Tyler Shelvin's a slim 360. This year it seems like he's down to 340, so you're going to need to see him down in that range, especially to play that nose guard position and be able to kind of take the brunt and be able to play a lot of minutes and snaps in the SEC. Clint, my man.
What's up, Blaine?
Okay, maybe not. Clint doesn't want to talk to us at this time. Not too much, man. Having fun yet?
Oh, of course, man. Like I said, we're nearing the end of hour number one, and trust me, I feel like we got a whole lot more coming up. Hour number two, I know you're looking forward to that one more importantly with everything going on, talking a lot more about those high school athletes. I'm hyped up about what's going on in hour number two.
Well, look, Chris Kovach just walked in at the Tap Room River Ranch.
Nice.
He only had a water at this point. I can report that, but he does have a healthy list of athletes from around the area. I can't wait to dive in and talk with it. And I hope all the folks in Acadiana can't wait to call in on the ARCO equipment hotline and join in on the conversation.
I think everybody's going to want to jump in on this one over the next hour, 5 to 6, and then we'll have a little bit of a best of leading up, of course, to the NFL Hall of Fame game, which I'm sure everybody in the Acadiana area is absolutely looking forward to.
Oh, I mean, how can't you be jacked about football that means nothing, and it's the Denver Broncos and the Atlanta Falcons? I mean, of course everybody's pumped about that. But more importantly, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back from that break, Clint, who was at UL today when the players reported and got all kind of good sound from Coach Billy Napier and company, he'll be able to tell you about the Raging Cajuns. I'm excited about that, and you should be too, on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back in to Bumper Sports, live from the Taproom River Ranch. And Taproom's starting to get a little juice, a little more folks coming in after their work, a little drive in, and drinks are flowing. And if you're not here, you're missing out. So if you don't have plans on a Thursday afternoon, come and spend it with us. Tigers wasn't the only ones to report to camp today. Billy Napier's Raging Cajuns reported as well, and the famous Clint D was on hand to check it out. Clint.
Yeah, man, I'm definitely
a lot of excitement over in Cajun country today.
It definitely a lot of excitement going on in Cajun country. Of course, we're getting that much closer to football season. A lot of hype surrounding the Cajuns program in year under two under Billy Napier after everything that happened last year, being the inaugural Sun Belt Western Division champs, and then wind up making it a 2A bowl game first time in a couple of years. They finish above 500, so everything looks really good. Heading into year number two, and we're going to start things off just looking more specifically at the quarterback position. Definitely a huge storyline. It's a crowded quarterback room. Of course, Braden Hawkins, there's a lot of uncertainty around him because you don't know if he's going to wind up being eligible. I'd lean more likely than not he won't be eligible. But Billy Napier talked about the expectations for who seems to be the leader in the clubhouse when it comes to the starting quarterback, and that is one, Levi Lewis.
Well, I think he just... I've had an opportunity to observe him work for probably 4 or 5 more months, you know, just to see how he's attacked this offseason. I think he did get quite a bit of experience, and I think that proved to be very beneficial. Certainly played a little bit that first year he was here. But second year in the system, just playing much faster, you know, anticipates better. I think he's processing quicker. He's gotten a lot smarter. He's acquired so much knowledge. I think he has a good grasp of what the other side of the ball is doing to him. And that leads to better decisions, better anticipation process, quicker. Now he's more accurate. He's always been a really good athlete. He's always had plenty of arm talent. And he's always been one of the most respected players on the entire team. So you take those things, and then now we have had a year to kind of study and adapt to maybe some things that we can do to feature him. And he's got good competition around him, you know, and always makes us better. So very pleased with Levi. Certainly had a great summer, took ownership of our team, a lot of optional activities where the quarterback really decides how well that's going to go. So he's better, and he's going to keep getting better.
Billy Napier speaking about his signal caller right there. And look, last year, no expectations for the Cajuns, so they exceeded them all. This year, expectations are there, and they're poised with the veteran quarterback leadership to get there, Clint.
They really are, and definitely going to wind up being the big thing, Blaine, when you just think about it. A lot of veteran leadership is going to be because of guys like Levi Lewis and a Joe Dillon and a Zion Hill, a lot of the veterans. There's a lot of veterans on this team, but at the same time, there's also a lot of unknowns, especially because of the fact that Billy Napier brought this up. I didn't realize this heading into today. 70% of the roster is either in their first or second year of playing college ball.
You know, we got 86 players that are going into their first or second year on our team. You know, that's almost close to 70% of the roster. So lots of unknowns, you know, I think, and lots of room for improvement. You know, I think that's one of the things that's unique about training camp. We kind of start over. There's going to be tons of competition, lots of roles to be earned, and that's what we're getting ready to do. I think we've got a lot of players who've invested, had tremendous off seasons, learned from last year, and then a group of rookies that is chomping at the bit to, you know, make a contribution to the team. So we'll be a work in progress, just like most football teams each and every week.
And that's what makes Levi Lewis so important, is his veteran leadership, being this team is so young at a lot of other positions. But look, Coach Billy Napier proved it last year. The best guy is going to play no matter of classification. That's why a lot of these young guys in the two deep have that experience.
Exactly, especially when you look at a lot of the JUCO guys, especially we're just going to stick in particular with the quarterback room. You got Jaave Magalay, who impressed, Clifton McDowell, both these guys impressed, of course. Everybody's going to talk about Chandler Fields, but I feel like he's a guy that you're just going to have to wait and see on, obviously, going to have to put some muscle on him, a lot like what we've seen over at LSU with Miles Brennan, who supposedly, according to Coach O, said that he'll get some more playing time. But I got one more clip to throw your way. I was talking about Joe Dillon and the veteran leadership he brings to the table. And Billy Napier talked about Joe Dillon, who is also returning from injury, and how he's feeling at this point in time.
Yeah, Joe has had a tremendous reputation as a playmaker and a guy who could make impactful plays in a game when we first got here. We had 15 practices of Joe. He was a little bit modified in spring, but he's had a tremendous summer. One of the things about Joe that I appreciate is he's an alpha male now. He's got an opinion and an attitude, and he's channeled those things. One of the things we challenged him with is, hey, you're one of the guys on our football team that can make a tremendous impact from a leadership perspective. And that's what I'm most concerned with. I know Joe's a great athlete, and he's going to make plays. What I'm excited about is the step forward he took in the summer relative to his actions match up with his words. So when he does speak, he's got credibility and he can, have a compound effect. He's not only making plays, but he's also exemplifies all the principles and values that we want our players to be about.
A lot of excitement right now for the Raging Cajuns, and I think part of it is, like you mentioned, all the young guys, but they recruited so damn well last year, Clint, so I expect a lot of those youngsters are able to compete and make significant contributions from day one. But I believe we're almost done with the first hour, so do you have one final word for the good folks?
Oh, I got one final word. I'll get to that final word right now.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
The final word for the 4 o'clock hour is King, because King Harley Race passed away earlier today. And you heard me right, Harley Race, former multiple-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion. I definitely think that's a fitting final word for this 4 o'clock hour as we wrap up hour number one on a high note with a look back at the world of pro wrestling. Of course, we got to wind up doing that. Ben Love's not here. We can talk about pro wrestling as much as we want. But, of course, hour number one, it's in the books. I think you're going to love what's coming up in hour number two, and it's going to be a good one. Coach Kovach, a man who's been around the block a time or two and knows what we're talking about when it comes to high-talent high school athletes, both on the hardwood, the gridiron, maybe even some track and field. We're going to talk to him about some of the best athletes of all time. You can give your submissions as well. 337-706-0111. That's 337-706-0111. If you want to get in on the action on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, we'll be back to the tap room after this on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
And we're back. I'm from Taproom River Ranch. And look, Ben called me last week and he said, I'm going out of town for some R&R. I need somebody to host the show on Thursday. You mind doing it? So why don't you get somebody to sit with you from the 5 to 6 o'clock hour? I said, that's a great idea. I know just the guy who'd do it. My high school junior year English teacher will come on with me for an hour and listen to me butcher the English language. So we're going to bring on Karen Crow basketball coach and state champion coach, Coach Christopher Kovach. Coach, I really appreciate you jumping on with me.
Man, not a better place, and I'd rather be than with you here right now, Blaine. True. I mean, and what better, come on time to time, with with you and Ben, you know, between Bumper to Bumper and Karen Crow Football and, you know, everything in between. But to spend the whole hour here, you know, at the tap room, you know, nothing better than that, talking sports, I mean, at the end of the day.
You know, they have dozens of cold beers on tap, beautiful women, nice atmosphere. There's no better place, right?
No. And football comes on tonight, which I didn't even realize, but hey.
Well, listen, Coach, before we get to the topic at hand, which is going to be the best high school athletes, regardless of sport, from the Acadiana area that we can remember. So your case, it'll be about 25 years. In my case, probably 25 years, you know, because I can't remember that much when I'm younger. But before we get to that, I kind of want to just pick your brain. Look, everybody wants to talk about who's going into fall camp and so-and-so did this in 7-7. But, hey, basketball teams, they do summer stuff too.
Yeah, it's a nonstop thing. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, in all honesty, I think a lot of us as high school basketball coaches, we might wish they'd ban it almost. You know, you do things now. One of my buddies that coaches up I-49 said, you know, I went to 2 top 24s. He was dating himself with that. Said, we didn't do anything in the summertime, you know, and we were good. But playing in the summertime is, you know, an absolute mandate for us. And you know, we use it as a development tool. We keep it very basic. But we get after it. We play a lot. We played 28 games between the last week of May and the first 3 weeks of June. We ended up at UL's team camp, which was a really great one. As a matter of fact, two tough ones back-to-back. We had Madison Prep, where we spent a weekend in Baton Rouge. And, you know, with that, you're just seeing the best of the best. You know, when you look at the teams, like, in our bracket, and then you look at a top 28, a brochure, you're not sure which one's which, because everybody, it's the same teams that are in it.
Speaking of the best, you have absolutely one of the best players in the entire Acadiana area. He's a class of 2021 guy, Joseph Charles. Plays out on the wing, but he goes about 6'8", long, lean guy, can handle the rock. Can't say enough good stuff about him, but his recruiting is really starting to take off.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was on the phone with his dad earlier, and he's like, yeah, the coach from Denver called last night. And then I got a call 2 days ago. Lamar wants to call him today and offer him today. And, you know, most of the schools in the state have offered already. LSU's been recruiting him since he was a freshman. You know, Will Wade came and watched us in the middle of December of his ninth grade year. Tell you what, the Cajuns are making a strong run at him, though. He just picked up another offer from Southern Miss about a week ago. But UL, Coach Marlin, came in and offered while we were at team camp. Joe had a solid camp there, and, you know, he's been solid nonstop. You know, when you're a first team All Stater and the district MVP in District 4A,
that district,
as a sophomore, that's pretty sick. That's impressive.
And maybe give us a little bit of insight. I mean, not everybody gets to, you know, be privy to these conversations, but what separates Coach Bob Marlin and his staff? The way they kind of contact the kid and the way they bring the information to the table.
You know, it's been a very pleasing thing to see and watch them with Joe. You know, Justin Crow, who's part of Coach Marlin's staff now, played for Bob at Sam Houston State way back when, and came in. I met him probably 5 years ago. He came in and GA'd for a little bit, and then he kind of went off and did his thing and came back to UL, you know, not that long ago. You know, he's been keeping in constant contact, and, you know, going beyond basketball. Everybody knows Joe can play. You know, he's a top 100 player in the nation, you know, top 3 in the state, you know, all debatable numbers with that. But one of the things that's not debatable is, you know, UL is recruiting him, you know, from head, heart, body, soul. You know, we're talking about academics. We're saying these are the things you've got to get done. You know, they're doing a good job, and it looks like they're winning the race right now.
So we're going to be looking for a commitment maybe soon from Joseph Charles. And the way his career starting, as you mentioned, MVP of the 4-4A district, All-State, he has a chance to be on the list of the players that we're going to talk about now, the best players from the Acadiana area. He's positioning himself to be on that list. But let's kind of go off, and we'll start by sport, And I guess we'll start in the basketball since we're talking about Joseph Charles. But let's talk about some of these athletes. And folks, if you guys want to jump in on the conversation, feel free to call us up on the ARCO Equipment Hotline at 706-0111. But, Coach, who are some of these basketball players in the area that really caught your eye in the last 20 to 25 years?
Yeah, this, you know, and I thought about this for a while, and, you know, you and I talked about it, we threw it out there on social media and heat up the discussion, you know, and we hope to get some great calls today. We'll make Clint earn his money today, you know, in the studio. You know, it's a debatable thing, of course. We're going to make somebody mad because we're not going to include their name.
And we're going to do our best not to be Karen Crow heavy. I mean, we do have heavy Karen Crow influences, but there's some tremendous athletes from all schools in this area.
Yeah. You know, when I look at my list, you know, of course, I'm a little bit biased. I put Patrick Richard, my guy, up there first. And, you know, a lot of people, if you're not a true prep basketball fan, you might not know Patrick Richard. He was an All-State player at Karen Crow. On a couple All-American lists in high school, wanted to stay close to home and played at McNeese, was Louisiana College Player of the Year, Southland Conference Player of the Year. He was an All-Southland performer for 4 years in college, and he's going into, I believe, his eighth,
and he just signed a new contract.
Yeah, he signed a very lucrative contract. He and his family, in fact, they left today for Romania, and they're just as a family. You know, he's got his beautiful wife Desiree, who herself played at Central Arkansas, probably outshoot Patrick, and they have two great little girls, Ava and Mimi. They're making that trek to Romania. They're all fired up. They found two great schools for him. But, you know, here's a guy who's been an all-star in virtually every league that he's been in Europe. He's played across
the globe. New Zealand last year?
Yep, New Zealand last year. In fact, with former UL and 76ers big man Sean Long.
Okay.
They were on the same team and had a heck of a run down under. You know, Pat's on the top of my list because he's my guy. He played for me and – but when you look at the body of work, it's hard to say
he deserves, that. He deserves to be on that list.
Year pro. He was an AP All American in college. You know, his name right there at McNeese State was listed next to Austin Rivers at Duke. You know, that's saying something.
Most definitely, and I think the whole area is kind of disrespected. Maybe when it comes to basketball, you know, you don't see a lot of respect when you see All State list and whatnot, but I believe that this area produces just as good a basketball talent.
Yeah, it's tough from a recruiting standpoint. You know, I mean, this area just does not get recruited the same way that a New Orleans area is. And it's a travesty because, you know, the quality of kids that we have and the quality of coaches that are in the Acadiana region. I mean, people, you know, they say, well, you know, your district, this, that, whatever. And you look at 3-5A and 4-4A and all the other leagues around here. These guys do a phenomenal job. You know, my peers in the coaching profession do an unbelievable job preparing for one another.
And I think maybe the only exception to the rule, at least recently, is Perry Stevens from Northside. I mean, he was a 6'9", big guy. His offensive game might have not been there, but what he did was just alter your shot. He controlled the game defensively. The paint was his, and he might have not blocked your shot, but he sure altered it.
Yeah, he altered everything. And at the high school level, I mean, he was one of the guys that was by far one of the most dominant defensive players ever. I mean, a guy walked into the SEC and he had the same sort of impact, you know, playing against other guys that were 6'7", 6'8", 6'9". And, you know, when you're playing a bunch of 5'9", 5'10", guys, it's a sick.
It's not fair.
No, it's just not fair.
Who else we got on that basketball list, Coach?
You know, if we go back in time, you know, we tried to focus on about a 25-year realm. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't include some Lafayette High guys. If we don't say Kevin Figueroa on that list, if we don't say David Benoit on that list, there are a couple guys down the road and up down Highway 90 that I even got to be. They were my track teammates. This is how special they were as athletes. They had two McDonald's All-Americans coming out of New Iberia Senior High. I want to say that would have been 1994, I believe.
Coach is going to age himself.
Kelvin Price and Chris Manuel. two McDonald's guys on one high school team.
I remember you telling me stories of those guys and just how they were so athletic and just get up the floor so quick that they dominated at that level.
They were something else. Then they'd get finished basketball and or Chris Manuel, I remember would get finished basketball and come out to track at USL back then, and he'd go long jump 51 feet. You know, just unbelievable ability. But you know, then if we kind of stay on the back end of it, going back a couple decades or a little less, give or take, you know, Coach Danny Broussard had Brandon Mouton, Brad Boyd. I'd say arguably probably two of his best guys, and yet again, two studs on the same team.
It's pretty tough, especially at the high school level. You know, sometimes you'll see a team with one guy be able to go really far. When you have two, you're almost unstoppable.
Yeah, and that was – those guys were seniors my first year as a head coach. And me being young and naive, I'd say, oh, man, yeah, you know, you gotta play the best if you're going to build the best program. So we go play STM, and they beat our brains in. Brandon and Brad were up on top of what Danny calls his 12, his 1-2-2 half-court trap. I think there were probably 14 trips down the court. We didn't even
get past half-court, huh? Well, we're going to cross over and take a quick break right now. But, look, don't go anywhere. We got plenty more sports and guys to get to from the Acadiana area, probably from your high school. But don't be afraid to jump in on the fun. Give us a call on that ARCO Equipment hotline. But stay tuned for more high school talk on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Thinking or swimming, Ben Love is just the guy to lead you in the right direction as you make your way back home from work. Now, back to Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
And we're back in to the Taproom River Ranch, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and I'm Blaine Vietar, posting in for Ben Love, who's out on assignment, and Coach Christopher Kovach is still with me, and we're still talking prep sports, the best high school athletes from the Acadiana area. Coach, we started with basketball. We're going to go a few more there, and then we'll jump to another sport.
Yeah, let's move it into the more modern era. You know, there's a couple guys. One guy made big news this past year, and that's Corey Davis. Lafayette High product. You know, got to watch Corey do his work firsthand for a few years. Went on to Blinn Junior College and then Houston, and they just had an unbelievable run. You know, trying to make his way in the league right now, see where he ends up. But, you know, Corey's definitely one of those guys that's up there. And I think also while we're talking recent years, we'd be remiss if we didn't include Greg Williams at LCA, who's now at St. John's.
That guy could jump out the gym, Coach.
Oh, he had sick. I mean, as an eighth grader, I remember watching him and going, uh-oh, he's going to be a problem.
I mean, he has just no regard for anybody else underneath him.
Yeah.
He's going up and get it. It's
nice when you have one of those. And you know, the thing about Greg, too, he's one of those guys that he's a great young man.
Super humble.
Yeah, yeah. You know, earlier we were talking about pairs. You know, we said Brad Boyd, Brandon Mouton, Kelvin Price, Chris Manuel. How about the duo in St. Martinville, what's that, over a decade ago? But Darryl Mitchell Jr. and Early Goose.
Look, man, those two cats, Tookie, Darryl Jr. was a tremendous shooter, ball handler, could run the point, do what you need, coach's son kind of guy. And Early was just an athlete, unbelievable athlete on the gridiron basketball court, one of the best athletes I can remember in my lifetime. I'll tell this story. I remember going to a basketball tournament. I believe it was probably a Christmas tournament or something at St. Martinville. And Darryl threw Early an alley-oop from half court. They had to stop the game from the amount of people that ran on the court after just going absolutely insane. And that's the kind of energy those two guys brought.
Yeah, just freakish ability. Both of them had freakish ability. Two different skill sets. You know, Darryl's dad, you know, Darryl Sr., just a storied Hall of Fame career at St. Martinville Senior High. You know, and they culminated that year with the ultimate goal with the state championship. And, you know, and that translated to, you know, into the fine legacy that St. Martinville had in football, the amount of great guys that they put out over the years. You know, I remember guys on the 1984 team at St. Martinville that beat my alma mater, Brother Martin, in the state semifinals. Fontenette's just – Dwayne Fontenette was quarterback, looked more like a linebacker, just an unbelievable group of athletes that have come out of that area, which can, you know, kind of throws us on our next list here in great guys come out of football.
And we have a bunch of them in the Acadiana area. And just to kind of touch on that St. Martinville thing, they've been tremendous for years back in the day. They hit a little bit of dormant, but last year Vince Derwin was kind of able to resurrect that program. They go undefeated all the way to the semifinals. Moving down to 3A this year, they might be a problem in that division. It's something to keep an eye on.
I think so. It was so good to see what you know, Vince Derwin was able to do. Always did a great job when he was at Northside. And to see him bring back, and, you know, as we look at, you know, Coach Dalhousie just passed away. Coach Wag just passed away. You know, the battles that those guys had down there. And, you know, to see St. Martinville have that resurgence, just phenomenal. But
while you're going with Coach Wag, and we're going to move over to football, I think it's a good segue. He's a guy I remember, and it was right after – Kevin Falk is Jamaican Thartes.
Yeah.
Shaking Jamaican, they used to call him. And the guy had swift hips and he could move, you know, went over to Tulane and had a great career. But I remember that guy as the Cecilia Bulldog.
Yeah, there was a great group that they had at Cecilia. I was actually in college then. You know, I was a track guy. I played, you know, a little mixture of everything in high school. But track kind of got me here into to Lafayette. And some of my teammates were guys that played on those Cecilia teams, guys a couple years younger than me. Brian Sonier was quarterback back then. Jamaican Thartes, you know, Brian went on, played quarterback, backed up Jake DeLome, who's undoubtedly got to be arguably probably our top quarterback.
Yeah, he's
to come
on
out
the list. Come on, man.
Area. You know, he's you know,
you might be able to put him on there as a horse trainer too if you want, right?
Yeah, you know, there's nothing Jake can't do these days. Banking, he's got that. Horse training, he's got that. He's all over it. Raising two little girls, he's got that.
And just being a great ambassador for the area.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. There's nobody, you know, Jake's one of those guys that if I give him a text or give him a call, you know, he's, it doesn't matter when or where, he's going to do his best to be there for you. And he's one of those guys that's up there. You know, on my list, I got two guys that I really look at as top of the Acadiana area all time. And one's Jake, and the other is, in my mind, arguably the best running back to ever come out of the state of Louisiana, much less Lafayette, and that's Karen Crow's own Kevin Falk.
Look, Kevin Falk, he was a place near and dear to my heart. I was coming up as a young lad in Karen Crow when he was in his high school career. There wasn't a guy in the area who didn't want to be him. I mean, he was just tremendous. He had all the moves, the speed to put guys away. He went on to have an All-American career at LSU, went on to win 3 Super Bowls in the NFL. It doesn't get much better than that, Coach.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Kevin is just – he was that spectacular of a player in
even
high
early school. In his career, though. I mean, even as a freshman, this shows you the freak athlete he was. As a freshman, he had, what, 8 or 9 picks on a defense that was pretty damn good that lost to a Neville team that ended up winning a state championship. And then the very next year, he moves over to quarterback and beats that same Neville team and wins the state championship.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Kevin is just one of those guys that's special. You know, you look at him now, I'd put money on him going back. He could enter the league today and still play.
And if you want to see him on the basketball court, he could still give you that work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Kevin, can, you know, that's the thing about Kevin. When we talk about athletes and guys who transcend sports, you know, and in so much talk today, you know, we're not going to it's not going to be our throwing shade segment of the day. But, you know, I'll throw the high school shade here at coaches who tell kids to specialize in sports, whether it be from the time that they're 8, 9, 10 or in high school. You know, Kevin Falk was an unbelievable football player, an unbelievable basketball player. He triple jumped 50 feet. I mean, there's nothing that he couldn't do.
Look, to echo what you just said, last year in the NFL draft, 26 of the first 32 picks were dual sport athletes in high school. So the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, and amazing. I mean, I look at this list and virtually every guy on this list, for the most part, played at least two sports. You know, if we talk about Karen Crow guys that I got the first hand, you know, maybe even coaching, Lucas Taylor went on to have a phenomenal career at the University of Tennessee under Philip Fulmer. You know, Lucas was a track athlete, played basketball for me. unbelievable. Definitely one of the best high school players.
Really humble young man.
Yeah. When you look at records and numbers, data, Lucas has got to be up there in the state. You know, at one point, the dude rushed for 539 yards in one game.
One game, that's what I was about to say. I mean, that game was just spectacular. Every time you looked up, Lucas was popping another big one. I mean, he just was so smooth and effortlessly. It looks like he was just gliding out there.
Yeah, and just another one of these guys, like Jake, like Kevin, you know, just phenomenal people. I'm looking at this list here, and I'm thinking about basketball. We're talking about pairs of guys. He had Quentin Lawrence on his team. Another guy. Here's Quentin Lawrence. Quentin was a four-year starter for us in basketball. Got drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs. So he's obviously pretty good in football, right?
High jump.
He was a 7-foot high jumper as a junior in high school. Not to mention the fact that he ran a 4.31 40 at the combine, I want to say. I mean, just sick.
I mean, this guy will dance with you in a phone booth and come out unscathed. I mean, this guy could just absolutely move.
Another special one. I'm looking at my list here. I see a group of Lafayette High guys that I think we'll be able to get to in a second.
We have to get to them back. I mean, there's so many guys. So, hey, look, don't touch that dial. We'll be right back, and we'll continue to talk about this topic that's just so near and dear to our heart on a Kitty and a Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. Missed an interview?
No!
Acadiana Sports Station has got you covered.
Explain how.
Just head over to 1037thegame.com and check out the on-demand section.
Woohoo!
Now back to Ben Love and Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
Welcome back in to the Tap Room, River Ranch. For more Bumper to Bumper Sports, Blaine Vietar still joined right now by Coach Christopher Kovac. And, Coach, before we get back off track and just going through all these high school guys, I think we need to throw a little shade and do our daily PSA.
Yeah, it's time.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Well, I'm going to pick a target that's typically an easy target, and that's going to be the NFL.
And with this one,
I mean come on,
that's a come on, man.
Steven Jackson, the former Oregon State, Los Angeles Ram, or St. Louis Ram when he played, running back, signed a one-day contract so he can retire a Ram. What does the NFL do? They flag him for a drug test. Are you kidding me?
It was such a great idea. Like, oh, that man, that's great, you know, for him to – you know, rightful place in retirement, and then bam.
How could the NFL just botch something so crazy? I don't know. Steven Jackson did have this to say. Dear NFL, you can tell Mr. Lombardo that I signed a one-day contract. I will not be reporting today for my random drug screening. Thanks in advance. Hashtag retired life.
Oh, it's good to go out on top, I guess.
How good is that, huh?
A life we'll never know, though, Blaine. We'll never know.
We'll try to throw shade, but nobody throws shade as good as Patio Center.
Yeah.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
So instead of worrying about one-day contracts and random drug tests for, you know, working a day if you're even going to work, we'll talk more high school sports now. And we're still working down our football list, Vach. Let's see what you got.
Yeah, you know, a couple guys, you know, came to mind. We talk about not so much throwing shade, but throwing bodies around. I have seen I started coaching at Karen Crow High in 1997. You know, some of the greatest years coaching football alongside Mac Byers and company. And in that time, my first year coaching there, we had a group of linebackers that I thought was just unbelievable. All guys signed college scholarships way back when. But Buddy Castile, Wilson Landry, and Al Tony Davis are some of the most phenomenal high school as a group athletes at the linebacker position around. But you know, one of the schools in the heart of Lafayette has produced some of the finest linebackers that I think is Lafayette High. Trev Falk, Ricky Calais, and Ross Brubacher all made up a group about two. They could call in, so I'd love if somebody would call in and help us out on a timeline. But it had to be about 2001, maybe 2000. Those three guys were absolutely unbelievable. You know, Trev has a heralded career at LSU and, you know, a brief NFL career. But Ricky Calais, he was one of those guys that he got sideline to sideline better than almost anybody I remember in coaching high school ball.
If memory serves me right, he might have just been a tad undersized, but the speed, he just got all over. Lived in the backfield, like you mentioned, making tackles sideline.
Yeah, you know, he signed, played with the Cajuns, had a great college career, but he was just something else. But if we talk about Lafayette High and we talk about linebackers, they had a pretty special guy in the 80s by the name. We mentioned his brother earlier, but now Cedric Figueroa.
I mean, that whole family was just great athlete. The son went on to play basketball and went to the top 28. With the Lafayette Lions, so just a great sports family in the Kittian area.
Yeah, Cedric, good friend, and just a super good guy. Went on, played at Notre Dame for Lou Holtz, and had a 8-year NFL career. Some different teams. I mean, you know, Fig coaches at Acadiana now. He's bounced around, been in a few different schools. Had great success as a head coach. You know, he's undoubtedly, when I think of guys at the linebacker spot coming out of the Acadiana area, Figs had got to be at the top of the list for me, I think.
I think this area produces running backs and linebackers more than almost any other sport, but fair share of defensive backs as well. And I remember a guy who didn't play defensive back in high school, but in college, all SEC before his career kind of went off the rails, and Damian James from Cairncrow. Just a tremendous athlete. Took Cairncrow to state championship game in 1996, but dual athlete, like you mentioned, ran track as well. But just Nick Saban turned that guy into an all-SEC safety.
Yeah, you know, Damian was leading the SEC in interceptions. You know, some things went awry for him. You know, projected NFL guy was – God, he's phenomenal. His quarterback skills were unbelievable. You know, each school, I mean, I remember Damian was a senior my first year at Cairncrow, and, I mean, every day it was a different school. Florida, Michigan, LSU, Texas. I mean, it was a battle, and they recruited him so hard, he was ready to go to each school after every visit he made.
We're Cairncrow guys. We're not going to make any, you know, bones about that. But we haven't mentioned anybody from Acadiana yet. But I'm going to bring up two guys. And Ali Broussard was just a load. Ton of guy to tackle. Had a good burst. He was a man-child in high school. And Jacob Couture, you were just talking about linebackers. You want to talk about a guy who just flies through the football, puts his hat in the pile, fill holes. Jacob was that guy.
Yeah, Jacob was that field general in high school. You know, he you could feel – his command, I think. You know, when he was out there, you could feel his presence and his command of his team out there. And, you know, and when 10 other 15, 16, 17-year-old kids are looking at one guy like that, that says something about who he is, you know. And, I mean, his career speaks for itself.
Yeah,
I think.
He went on to have an excellent career at LSU. I think he had a brief stint with the Jacksonville Jaguars, maybe.
Yep.
And he's still in the area and super good guy as well.
Yeah, yeah. And he, you know, and like you said, with Allie, I mean, Allie was like a bowling ball. You know, it's hard to put two fingers and try to – you can slow it down a little bit, but stopping it is something else on its own.
I would love to see what Allie Broussard's career would have looked like at LSU. minus the tear of his ACL right before his sophomore year. He was going on to do big things. He had just wrapped up a spectacular into his freshman year, and I really think he was poised to do really big things.
Yeah, yeah, it's a tragedy. You know, the way things turn, you know, we don't understand why or, you know, what goes into it. And, you know, when guys make it to the next level and some have careers beyond their wildest dreams from there, you know, we were talking about Cecilia earlier. I could say the name Anthony Clement, and a lot of people have no idea who Anthony Clement is. But Nelson Stokely knew who Anthony Clement was. You know, Anthony was one of the cogs, big man, you know, the main factors in that Cecilia run with Jamaican D'Artes. If Jamaican was getting the ball, chances are he was going behind big Anthony Clement. Anthony was 6'7", 300 pounds. Played at UL and was drafted by the Cardinals way back when, and he had a prolific NFL career.
We'll continue the theme of two-sport athletes, but Jared Mitchell at Westgate, tremendous athlete first, great on the gridiron at wide receiver, kind of do it all in high school, right? Played quarterback as well, but in baseball, that guy could just fly around the base pads, you know, roam center field like anybody's business, and really hit the baseball really well.
Yeah, they're when I think about the, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier about baseball. Like, man, we don't have enough pen and paper to write the amount of baseball guys that have come out of this area. So many great programs, baseball programs in this area. But, you know, in recent times, you know, we've had some big names in the past. You know, we can go back to Ron Guidry. We can talk about that. We can talk about Gil Mesh out of Acadiana. You know, but when we look in recent times, and I think someone that kids know, you know, I think there are two names that come up, and one's Jared Mitchell, and the other's Mikey Matuk.
And Mikey was a good football player as well. Another name I'll mention is, though, Taylor Duga out of Terlings. That guy was a hit machine. Went over there to Alabama, was all-SEC performer, hit over, you know, close to 400 a couple of those years. One name that's a little bit stretching it for me, I don't quite remember him at STM, but more at LSU, was Lyle Mouton.
Yeah.
That guy would just hit the baseball, you know, a mile.
He was a monster, you know, and that's what I say. You almost have to limit this conversation, you know, like we said earlier, we're going to make somebody mad today. Somebody's going to throw shade on us. Patio Center will be proud. Somebody's going to throw shade on us because we didn't mention him, but there were just too many names. Yeah, I talk about those two guys and Matuk and Mitchell. Well, how about the guy that came right behind them and Andrew Stevenson?
Yeah, that's true. He was a guy who was kind of unknown going into his senior year, but, I mean, he does everything so well. You know, yeah. He keeps his bat in the plane for so long. What about two guys over at Acadiana, Tyler Yockey and Striker Trahan? Those are two guys that were tremendous baseball players. Look, Chase Vallo over at STM, catcher, I think in the Blue Jays maybe organization still today. This area has just produced a lot of good baseball players.
Yeah, there's just so many guys when we start doing that. And it's funny, sometimes one name leads you to another conversation or, you know, we talk about guys that are, you know, like, oh, man, I almost forgot about them. You know, we bring up Andrew Stevenson. Well, if we stay on that LSU realm right there, guy just finished his career, a Lafayette High product, in Duplantis.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, what's he breaks the hit record at LSU as a senior. And then, oh, yeah, his brother's a pretty good athlete, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'd hate to say who's the best athlete in that family, right? I mean, yeah, start with mom and dad. But, I mean, Andrew was just a tremendous runner, great fielder, and we all know he could hit, right? And he puts the ball in play. He's got an opportunity to be safe. He's so fast. But Mondo's out there just, you know, he's world class when it comes to pole vaulting.
Yeah, you know, and there's our entrance into a quite overlooked sport in the Acadiana region, the amount of phenomenal track athletes that our area has put out.
And one that a school we hadn't talked about, Beauchamp, Walter Davis was, I mean.
Walter Davis just.
an Olympian.
There's the, you know, the word elite, I think, gets used entirely too much. You know, we've got 7-year-old T-ball teams that are calling themselves elite. And I think, at just my opinion, at that point, the only thing that can be elite about you is how expensive your bags and your cleats are at that point.
Definitely, Coach. Look, we're going to save track for the next segment, but we're going to take a quick break. But, hey, this has been a ton of fun. I can't wait to get to a little bit more track and wrap this bad boy up.
Yeah, I think
can't
we need a week,
how
not
much,
an
yeah,
hour.
I mean, how much fun this is. And the good folks out of Acadiana are still missing out on the good time at the Taproom River Ranch. If you haven't made it here yet, still have time.
We're saving a spot for you.
And on the way over here, keep us tuned in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We're back in for the last time today over at the Taproom River Ranch for Bumper to Bumper Sports. I'm Blaine Vietar, still joined by Coach Kovac. Coach, you just shared a story about Walter Davis in high school at Beauchamp with me during the break that I think the listeners need to hear.
Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal. I mean, I remember Walter and me being a track guy. You know, I always paid close attention to track. My buddy Larry Longclaw, who, if you're from St. Landry Parish, you know him as affectionately as Scooter. But he sent me this little note. He said when Walter was in high school, he and a guy named Kendrick Boxey were the only two high school athletes to jump over 50 feet in the triple jump that year. And, you know, if you're listening at home and you don't really – those numbers don't mean a lot, you can win your average high school track meet at about 46, 47 feet on a good day. Well, these two guys, Kendrick Boxey and Walter Davis, were jumping 50 feet, over 50 feet in high school. And the crazy thing about that is they were the only two guys doing that in the nation at the time, and they both went to Beauchamp High School. They were on the same team.
Beauchamp Gators just churning out athletes back then. But, hey, look, there's a track athlete I want to make sure we get to, and he's near and dear to both of our hearts. He's from Cairncrow. It's Jarvis Gotch.
Yeah.
The guy's just phenomenal, and he's still doing it today.
Yeah, Jarvis is one of my guys. He was a four-year starter for us in basketball and, you know, diminutive guy. You look at him, and you're like, kind of look little. You know, it's like watching Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse. I thought you'd be a lot bigger, but that's Jarvis. But here's a guy who Jarvis won the state championship in the long jump in high school in 24-6 at the state meet. We got him at South Plains Junior College out in West Texas, right near Lubbock. Went on to win two national championships as a team. He was on a 4x100-meter national championship. He won it all in the long jump his freshman year. Went on to be an All-American. Went to Louisiana Tech from there, and he's been jumping professionally since then. He's kind of a little string of rotten luck. He finished at the national championships 2 years in a row. He finished in fourth place, failing to
top three make the team. Right?
Yeah. He's still going to represent the nation coming up and some of the international stuff that's going on. But not bad for a kid from Cairncrow that grew up on Parisian Road.
Not bad at all. And it just shows the amount of athletes that this area is producing. Like you mentioned, though, we've probably left off so many, and people are probably getting upset with us, but it's just so damn hard to get them all in.
To you know, certain names for me stand out. You know, we mentioned Quentin Lawrence earlier. He was a 7-foot high jumper. Lafayette High had one as well, and J.J. Barton way back when, a basketball track guy. J.J. jumped 7'2", if I remember right. You know, he was.
I mean, that's good enough to win most college meets.
Yeah, it's pretty. If you're at 7, you're among the elite, really, in the world. And you know, we're looking at kids who are doing that coming out of the Acadiana region. It's almost not fair for the other guys. Like, man, I jumped 6'7" today. That's unbelievable. Like that win down the road.
Go jump somewhere else, huh?
Yeah, just ends up being, and you know, just like we said though, how many? I love seeing the multi-sport guys. You know, we mentioned Kevin Falk in that. He was a 50-foot triple jumper. You had my good buddy Rocky Guidry, played quarterback at Burbridge, was defensive back at UL. In fact, the time with one of the guys we left off the football list, how about Orlando Thomas?
Oh, man.
You know, he's no longer with us, but, you know, we don't want to forget him from memory. But, like, wow, how about that dude? Like,
it's amazing the amount of guys you forget. Josh Reed over at Rain.
Josh Reed. I remember watching him we went to scout a game and at Rain High, and he just put on a show. I was like, wow.
He was just unreal. I'm sure we're missing even more guys, though. You know?
Yeah, there's just too many, you know. And, you know, think about what we're doing here. We didn't even touch on the women's side. How many great female athletes have come out of that area, you know?
It's a shame that we don't have more time to just run down all these guys and girls as well, because, like you mentioned, females, they go on to do big things, too. We talked about Kim Perrette. We talked about Ava Jones from Karen Crow.
Just
rattle off a few names.
You know, got guys that transcend back. You know, Wade Ritchie had a phenomenal eight-year NFL career. His sister Sarah, had a phenomenal. She was a high school All-American in basketball and an All-Stater in track.
Man, Coach, this was so much fun. I wish we could keep doing it, but we just can't. I want to thank everybody over here at Taproom River Ranch. I want to thank Coach Kovac for joining us. Larry Holder of The Athletic talked some Saints camp. Brooks Cabina over from The Advocate talking LSU. And the famous Clint D over at the 237 Roof Studio, keeping us all in line to get this show done. It was a ton of fun. I can't wait to do it again. I'll be back next Thursday with Ben over at the Tap Room for Bumper to Bumper Sports. But we're going to sign off for Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.